You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Kendall Keene, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones with Andrew Joseph and Scotty Bordelon.
It's been 5 or 6 decades since Frank Broyles uttered the comments that we seem to repeat every year, and it's that they remember November when it comes to a football team, and it's as true today as it was all those years ago. The November games are the ones that seem to be the most important on your schedule. Not to say the other ones aren't important, but you know, this is kind of crunch time for football teams, and for Arkansas, certainly a real big chance here over the next few weeks to add to what has been a good season, maybe make it a really good season. We'll see how things go. The Razorbacks go on a 2-game winning streak as they go into a 3-game homestand that begins this week against Liberty. Matt Jones with Scotty Bordelon and Andrew Joseph of WholeHogSports.com. The Razorbacks coming off that 41-27 victory over Auburn in Auburn over the weekend, and it was probably not as close as the final score would indicate. Auburn scored a touchdown with 4 seconds left that kept Arkansas from having its largest win ever at Jordan-Hare Stadium. And Arkansas led by 25 points midway through the fourth quarter when they began to put the backups in. You know, to me, it was probably a little bit more thorough victory than I thought Arkansas would have. But then again, there's a lot going on at Auburn right now. And we wrote about this in our keys to the game, Scotty, last week, that this time of year, it comes down to want to. And when you've got a team that's kind of in that season on the brink type scenario that Auburn has been in, obviously they fired their head coach a couple of days after they lost to Arkansas, things can go really south. The game's not going your way, and I think that's probably what we saw Auburn after they missed that early field goal and only had a 3-0 lead when Arkansas didn't play a very good first quarter.
Yeah, it kind of seems to me like since that early missed field goal, Eric Musselman said something that was interesting after Arkansas's exhibition loss at Texas on Saturday, that, you know, when a team maybe has things not going for it, you know, it kind of, he's seen Arkansas's basketball team behind closed doors, whichever, you know, when they go live, you know, whichever team is trailing, he said that they have a kind of a tendency to let things avalanche on them and they don't have much competitive stamina. And I think that's where Auburn is, obviously. You know, that's where they were under Brian Harsin, and that's a lot of the reason why he's not there anymore, is it just didn't seem like that team had just a whole lot of fight in it. And if it had want to, maybe it was kind of more second order, like you want to. And I just didn't feel like they had that in their makeup. You know, with under Brian Harsin, they definitely had it under Malzahn, but it just didn't seem like, I don't know, they just couldn't put a half or like a full game of football together. And I feel like they've been in a fog maybe since that Penn State game where they just got absolutely, you know, blasted at home. But good for Arkansas to, you know, go in and on the road. It's never easy to win on the road, like regardless of the sport. Eric Musselman said that a lot of the times too when we've talked to him after they've won on the road. It's never easy to win away from home when essentially everybody in the building is against you. But I mean, I think Matt, you wrote this in the HI game story on the game, like it's a stepping stone type of win for Arkansas. Cause it's a game I easily could have seen Arkansas losing. Like if they turn the ball over a few times and they let Tank Bigsby, you know, get loose more than a couple times. But, you know, I think it was really big that Arkansas literally went on the road and won an SEC game, and Bumper Pool and Drew Sanders, I think, combined for like 5 solo tackles. That's just other guys making plays too. And the offense obviously had it rolling like they have, you know, the last few weeks.
Well, one of the reasons I called it a stepping stone win was because I think Arkansas and Auburn, from a talent perspective, they're still probably about equal. I mean, Auburn, their signing classes haven't been as good the last few years as they were, you know, during that run that they had of real good success under Gus Malzahn, but they haven't been bad either. And they've been, you know, ahead of Arkansas most years in the recruiting rankings. It's one of those deals, I think, that in the evolution of any program under a head coach, you have to kind of exercise your demons, right? And Arkansas did that last year by beating A&M in Arlington. They did it last year by beating LSU. They did it last year by beating Missouri. And, know, someday is going to come where they're going to have to do it by beating Alabama. But Auburn was one of those teams that had a long winning streak over Arkansas. It was a six-game win streak. And, you know, the games really had not been that competitive aside from the 2020 game down there when the Razorbacks probably should have won, if not, you know, had it not been for that officiating mistake. And so, yeah, I think it's a stepping stone win for Arkansas because it doesn't matter what Auburn's record is. It's still Auburn, you know what I mean? And that's still a program that there have been years where Auburn may have not been as good as Arkansas, and they still beat them pretty badly in some cases. And so that's why I thought that was a big win for Arkansas. And you know, it's just another step in the right direction for Sam Pittman and his program.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think one thing that kind of caught my attention was, you know, they always – Arkansas always releases those post-game locker room videos, and there wasn't – it didn't seem like there was a ton of celebration. It was almost like Arkansas went into Auburn, like, fully expecting to win. I mean, actually, Sam said that, I think, on this post-game radio show. He was like, I feel like we came into this game thinking we were the better team. We were the better team, and we showed we were the better team. And he – I don't – it didn't seem to me at all like he was surprised by it. He really likes his team right now, and you know, beating BYU on the road, say what you want about that, but they use that bye week to get really healthy. And it's kind of like, you know, sometimes you don't want that bye week to come because maybe it kind of slows some of the momentum that you've built up. But I think Arkansas did a great job of carrying that momentum through the bye week and got healthy, and then stayed pretty healthy from what it sounds like, other than the Dominic Johnson news. But that happened, you know, last week, and I'm not real sure how much of an impact he would have had on the game or if he was in the game plan at all. But yeah, I think they're at a point right now in the league where they kind of expect to win. And that's just, I mean, covering this team or this program like 3 years ago, it was like shocking if Arkansas was competing, and now they're expected, it feels like, to win games or at least compete into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of seemed like this was a game that Arkansas had to have, just because of the way the two programs are trending. Like, Arkansas is on an upward trajectory, and Auburn's been in a steady decline, and you wanted to have – they had that big, long losing streak, and obviously that's a motivating factor for them coming into this game. And I think Sam Pittman mentioned in the post-game press conference that they had – now, after that win over Auburn, that he's beaten every team in the SEC West outside of Alabama, which doesn't seem like that's coming anytime soon. But I think that win was big for them just because they had been so close to beating Auburn in recent years and not being able to get the job done. And then you mentioned earlier Tank Bigsby being bottled up. And I think that was probably the biggest part of stopping the Auburn offense, because they're so one-dimensional on the ground. And he only had 63 yards, 41 of which came on one carry. And so you're looking at 10 other – he had 11 rushes, so 10 of his 11 rushes amounted to just 22 yards. And I think that was probably a big reason why Arkansas was able to dominate as well as they did.
You mentioned a few things so far, Scotty, that's given me a flashback to 2019. You know, one of which is that, you know, you mentioned that they're not, you know, it's not to say they didn't celebrate the win. You still celebrate, you know, beating a team like that. But you remember Ed Orgeron after they beat Arkansas in 2019, and he made the comment, he said, you know, we're not going to celebrate after we beat Arkansas. They haven't been any good lately.
Right.
That's kind of what it reminded me of, because, you know, I think Auburn right now is in kind of, probably not as bad off as Arkansas was in 2019, but they're in a, you know, they're kind of in a similar predicament where, and this was the other thing that I was reminded of, you know, in 19, you think about the Mississippi State game and the Western Kentucky game, the final two games under Morris, and there were some other games before that, but those two games really stand out to me, that when things started going south on Arkansas, there just was no fight at all. And that's kind of what it felt like with Auburn, again, at a lesser or to a lesser degree than it did with Arkansas. I don't think this Auburn team is going to be losing by 26 at home to a team like Western Kentucky, but to a lesser extent, that's kind of how it felt like with Auburn the other day. There wasn't that fight after, you know, things started going south on them. And I guess it began with the blocked field goal early in the third quarter.
Yeah, and I was in line at the Moody Center to get my credential to go into the exhibition when I think Rashad Dubinion added a touchdown to make it like a – it may have been Arkansas's biggest lead at the time. I can't remember.
Yeah, it was 38-13.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, I was just like, man, this Auburn team's kind of rolling over. Like, some of that's obviously got to do with Arkansas. I mean, they're clearly the more physical team on – it seemed like on both fronts. And Arkansas's running backs were just kind of, you know, getting into the end zone, picking up first downs, big yards, or big chunk play runs and that kind of thing. And yeah, there didn't seem to be any fight. And that's what, man, I got really tired of watching that a few years ago when, you know, I'm just covering the team, but I'm tired of watching. It's like Arkansas's games followed the same script. When they fell behind early, they just completely rolled over and didn't have any fight or any want to at all. It's a complete turnaround now, man. And I think they're in a pretty good position to finish the regular season strong.
Yeah, and kind of speaking to that Arkansas's testament to not rolling over and being that team that they were in the past, where they just kind of faltered when things got tough. They went 3-and-out on their first drive. They fumbled on their second drive, and they went behind 3-0, which I thought really would have maybe made it a closer game, maybe given Auburn some life, which it didn't, because Arkansas settled in. I thought Kendall Briles called a really nice game after the first two drives, and they put up, I think they put up 30, over 30 points in like almost every game or something like that. And so I think the offense is just really firing on all cylinders, and just kind of like you guys said, that they're not a team to just roll over anymore.
And it doesn't, like, we don't bat an eye anymore when Arkansas goes over 500 yards of total offense. Like, that's just, I think we're kind of taking what this Arkansas offense is doing right now, maybe a little bit for granted. I mean, in the past, it was like if Arkansas got 400 yards, or they even got close to some semblance of balance in that 400 yards, it was like headline worthy. And now it's like Arkansas has put up 600 yards on the road and 500 yards on the road in back-to-back games. I've got to think that's pretty unheard of. Yeah, Kendall Briles deserves a lot of credit. And KJ's, you know, looked like his old self again after that injury, which I maybe didn't expect right away, but he's been great. You're getting some production from guys that, you know, were maybe going through some lulls at receiver, like Matt Landers. You know, he had a 3-week stretch where he caught like 3 passes for 50 yards. And the last 2 games, he's on the best 2-game run of his college career. Then Rocket's just, you know, doing his thing every week. It's pretty impressive what they're doing on offense right now. I don't think Arkansas fans should take that for granted whatsoever.
I also think it shouldn't be overlooked, the fact that the defense had a decent game against Auburn. I mean, I think in any time in modern college football, if you can hold a team to, say, 325 or fewer yards, you've probably done something defensively. You know, anytime you hold them under 300, I think it's a great defensive game. And what happened on Saturday at Auburn is that when Arkansas went up 38-13 on that touchdown run that Scotty talked about by Rashad DeBinion, Auburn only had 318 yards of offense at that point. And Arkansas put in some backup defensive players, and then Auburn had a couple of 75-yard drives that contributed, you know, pretty greatly to its overall total offense. And you look at the, you know, the final box score and you say, well, Arkansas gave up almost 500 yards of offense. What a shocker. But I think if you look a little bit closer at what happened during the game, 318 yards given up by the Arkansas first team defense, that's an accomplishment, I think, Scotty.
Definite accomplishment. And like I said earlier, you know, You just went on the road in the SEC and won when your starting linebackers finished with like a combined 8 tackles. And so you're getting pretty good contributions from Latavius Brenny. He had a couple tackles for loss in that game. I think he's a guy that, you know, you look at him and he looks like he looks the part of an SEC DB, especially a safety. I thought he was pretty impressive from what I saw the other day. And then you look at, you know, some of the other guys that are in Arkansas's top 5 or top 6 in terms of tackles. It's Chris Paul Jr. And he's, you know, hurrying the quarterback. He's got a half sack, half tackle for loss. And then Miles Slusher and Kari Johnson, 2 guys that you got back from injury. You know, they're 4 and 5 in terms of tackles. Really good, really big deal for Arkansas to get those 2 guys back. And maybe they can, you know, just like Arkansas's offense has rolled this momentum over the last few weeks, maybe that defense can do the same, you know, against a Liberty team that's, you know, got a pretty good offense. You don't exactly know who they're going to run out there at quarterback. They got some pretty good options, and Sam Pittman said they're similar players, but it's going to be a test, man. It's not your traditional, you know, homecoming, late season, non-conference game. you know, coming up. So it was a pretty big deal for those guys to get their feet wet and, you know, knock the rust off a little bit. But it was definitely pretty impressive. The most impressive thing, obviously, was holding Tank Bigsby to what he did. I mean, he's, you know, he's always, when you look at Pro Football Focus or some of the other analytics sites like SEC StatCat, like, he's always up there in terms of, you know, running backs in the league who break the most tackles. And are up there, you know, in average yards after first contact was made. And Arkansas did a great job bottling him up for the most part.
And he was coming off that big game against Ole Miss, and Auburn's, you know, entire offense had a pretty good game against Ole Miss. They, you know, I think they ran for what, close to 400 yards in that game, and Bigsby himself ran for about 179. And so they bottled him up and, you know, took him out of the game. And it felt like when they took Bigsby out of the game, Auburn didn't have any other big playmakers on the field. I know Camden Brown made a couple of nice plays there toward the end, but again, that was against the second team Razorback defense. That was kind of the shocker, I think, for Auburn, is that outside of Bigsby, it just didn't feel like they really had any offensive playmakers, Andrew.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong here. I think Rocket Sanders is an outstanding running back, but I think if you swapped Rocket Sanders and Tank Bigsby, their teams, I think Tank Bigsby would be leading the SEC in rushing. And so to kind of, that just speaks volumes to his talent level and maybe his situation that he's in, playing in such a one-dimensional offense, just because he is such a talented running back, but he is in a less than ideal situation in that Auburn offense.
I was a little bit surprised too that Jarquez Hunter didn't make more of an impact. Like, anytime I've watched Auburn, and it hasn't been very often, granted, because I don't want to watch them. Like, straight up, they're just like not very fun to watch. But it, like, I did watch the Ole Miss game that they played, because that game was pretty fun. You had running backs breaking loose on both sides, like every other snap. Jarquez Hunter's a good back, and I think it's just, yeah, it's kind of unfortunate for those two guys that maybe their front's not a little bit better, and that their quarterback, you know, he you know, Robbie Ashford, he had a pretty good game the other day, but he's not a guy that's just going to, like, he's not going to beat a defense to death with a pass. And so that, you know, that kind of lets defenses load the box up a little bit more.
Here's the tough thing for Arkansas is that Auburn, they're going to get better. They're going to make sure that they get this coaching hire right, or, you know, at least they're going to throw the money at somebody to try to, you know, make it right, whether that's Lane Kiffin, Hugh Freeze, Deion Sanders. You know, we'll see. It could be somebody at left field. I do think it's interesting they brought in John Cohen, the Mississippi State AD, to make this hire. You know, he's a former baseball coach, and from what I can tell, the only two football hires that he has made were Joe Moorhead at Mississippi State and Mike Leach at Mississippi State. And neither of those seem like they've just been, you know, knock your socks off type hires. I guess Leach is a, you know, a big name, but, you know, he certainly hasn't had the level of success at Mississippi State yet that he's had in some of his other stops. But, you know, you look at what's going on down at A&M with Jimbo Fisher, and there's talk that, you know, there might be a change there at the end of this year. I know the buyout money is, you know, a huge consideration in what happens with Jimbo and Texas A&M. But, you know, the tough thing for Arkansas is that it never gets easier in the SEC West, right? You know, I mean, if a team stays down for very long at all, there's going to be a change. And, you know, here they come back with reckless abandon trying to get back up to the top of that division.
No, it's crazy. Arkansas is probably – they're obviously pumped that, you know, they go to Auburn and win there for the first time in a decade. But you come back, and after a non-conference game, you get ranked LSU and ranked Ole Miss at home. And it's like your first couple home games in like over a month. It does not get easier. And I know that, you know, I follow some Auburn beat writers, not to turn this into an Auburn podcast, but I think that, you know, they're probably looking, they would be silly to not look at Lane Kiffin, and then they'd be silly too to not look at Deion Sanders too. So you just kind of wonder what the speculation, you know, around some of these active head coaches does to their teams. I'm sure Lane will probably brush it off as best he can, but that noise is going to be out there until a decision is made one way or the other. So I'll be curious to track his comments and just kind of, you know, how Ole Miss performs in the weeks that, you know, kind of lead up to them coming here.
It'll be at the loudest whenever Ole Miss comes into Fayetteville on November the 19th when they play the Razorbacks in that second to final game of the regular season, or it'll be, you know, kind of at a fever pitch at that point, I would assume. especially given who Lane Kiffin's agent is, by the way. For Arkansas against Auburn, a couple of notable things. We talked about Rocket Sanders, his 171 yards. He could have easily had, I think, a Darren McFadden, South Carolina 2007 type game on Saturday. And the reason I say that is because if you look at, he ran it 16 times. He played in the first quarter, played one snap in the second quarter, played about 12 minutes into the third quarter, and then he didn't play again. And with the, you know, the type of holes that offensive line was opening for him, I mean, you're talking about that easily could have been a 250 plus rushing day had they used Rocket in a way similar to maybe how he'd been used at some other points in the season. But I think what's happening with Arkansas is that they're getting more out of Rashad DeBinion. They're starting to get more out of AJ Green. Dominic Johnson's not going to play anymore this year. It was announced this week that he had torn his ACL, but they're getting, you know, they've got that three-man rotation that I think they want to have. And I think maybe what you're seeing them do with Rocket Sanders right now, it's almost like a pitch count, or, you know, you'll hear Dave Van Horn talk during baseball season about, hey, we pulled that pitcher because we're going to need that inning later on down the road. Well, you know, with Rocket Sanders, you might need those four or five carries later on down the road. And I almost wonder if that's going to be what we see out of Arkansas, that you're going to see them maybe peel back Sanders carries in favor of going more with DeBinion primarily, but also AJ Green over this final month of the season.
That very well could be. I thought it was interesting on Monday that, you know, someone asked about the snaps that Pooh Paul played, because I think he was one of Arkansas's highest graded players, according to Pro Football Focus, if I'm not mistaken, at Auburn. And he pretty much got the snaps that Bumper Pool would have played. And Sam mentioned that, you know, they're taking a little bit off of Bumper's plate right now because they need him more down the line when the games are super important and late in the season, when you're kind of jockeying for bowl position and you know, maybe, you know, an 8-win season, 9-win season. I think they're doing that a little bit right now with Rocket. I actually wouldn't be surprised if we see his carries go up a little bit more. Because Sam said that, you know, listen, Rocket is one of the most physically impressive guys I've ever seen, especially for his age. Like, it stunned me, like, how physically sculpted he was when he got to campus as a freshman. And that was almost 2 full years ago. And he is, I think he's built to take the beating that running backs take in this league. And he, right now, he's averaging like 20 carries a game. He could easily take on 25 or 26, I think. And I think they're being smart with him right now, but I wouldn't be surprised in the least to see his carries maybe touch the 25 mark in a game at some point in November. I think he can do it. He can handle it. And if he does get, you know, maybe 5 or 6 extra carries, who knows, there might be another 75 or 80 yard run in there. You know, if Arkansas is going to get him, try to get him his yards, there's no doubt about it. Like, they want Rocket to have that individual success, which leads to team success. And then they can pitch that to the next great running back that they're trying to get out of high school, or, you know, the transfer portal, that kind of thing. I think that sometimes that can be downplayed with coaching staffs. Like, they're not trying to get a kid his numbers or to a specific number, whether it's receiving, passing, rushing, whatever. But they're going to push that if Rocket keeps putting up big numbers. But they do that, you know, sometimes with linebackers. You know, when Grant Morgan, Hayden Henry, and Bumper all had 100 tackles a couple of years ago, like, Michael Sherr was pushing that with recruits. They will do that with whatever number Rocket puts up this year. And I think he could put up some really big ones if he just gets a few more touches than he's been usually getting.
I do think it's interesting that if you look at Sanders this year, some of his biggest gains have been late in games, you know, whether it be that shovel pass against Missouri State that went for the touchdown, or, you know, the long touchdown run against BYU. And I think that was in the fourth quarter, the long run the other day against Auburn late in the third quarter. It's like the offensive line is wearing the other team down. And then, you know, Sanders looks really fresh late in games. Incredible year for him right now. And we've talked about this before, but his numbers right now are better than Darren McFadden's numbers through 8 games in 2007. And I don't think I would have ever seen that coming. We'll have more Razorback discussion in a moment. We want to tell you first, the Whole Hog Football Podcast is sponsored by Kendall King. Design, displays, signage, kendallking.com. That's KendallKing.com.
The Kendall King Group family of companies plays to win, just like our hogs. We know how demanding retail marketing is today. From digital omnichannel creative services, through in-store signing and displays, and finally to social influence, we've got you covered. Our KKG Inc. family of companies, Kendall King, Shopcart Creative, and Soapbox Influence are winning with multiple retailers and brands. We play to win and will be a winning partner for all your retail marketing service needs. Go Hogs!
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
A couple of notes came out Tuesday about Arkansas linebacker Drew Sanders, who was named a semifinalist for the Bednarik Award and for the Butkus Award. The Bednarik Award goes to the best defensive player in college football. The Butkus Award goes to the best linebacker. He's one of 15 semifinalists for the Butkus, one of 20 semifinalists for the Bednarik. And the three finalists for both of those trophies is going to be announced later this month. Doesn't seem like Sanders is going to be in those three finalists, Scotty, but, and I guess I say that based on maybe the way his last couple of games have gone. You mentioned against Auburn didn't put up, real big numbers. It seems like maybe, the opposing offenses are really starting to zero in on him and making sure that he doesn't take over a game the way he did against Cincinnati or the way he did against South Carolina. But even to be in that consideration as, one of the best 15 linebackers or one of the best 20 defenders, I think is a really nice honor for Drew Sanders and, a nod to especially how well he played the first month of the season.
Yeah, there's no question. I think he's been everything that they hoped he would be when they got him from Alabama. I remember talking to Dave Hennigan, who coached Sanders at Denton Ryan in high school, and he called him a generational type player and a specimen. I mean, just any kind of adjective that you could think of that could positively like reflect what Drew is. He just went on and on just about how great of a player he was, and he can do just a little bit of everything. Like he can line up, he get down on the line of scrimmage, put his hand in the ground, can stand up in the middle of the field, stand up and come off the edge. He's got terrific swim move, and guys were talking about that in the spring. We didn't really get to see it, but then you see it in game one and game two, and it's leading to all these sacks. And then all of a sudden he's leading the country in sacks. He's been a havoc maker or a havoc creator. And that's really, really, really what Arkansas needed. Like they've had guys that can come up with tackles for loss. Like John Ridgeway and Trey Williams were pretty solid at bringing guys down behind the line every so often. He's been pretty consistent with it. And I think, I'm not going to make a big deal about him coming up with just a couple tackles the other day. Like they did everything they had to win the game, and other guys stepped up and made plays. But it could be another case where there's kind of, maybe saving his body a little bit for later down the line when, a guy of his caliber can, swing a game one way or the other.
He's the prototype, I think, for Arkansas in recruiting moving forward, whether it's somebody coming absolutely out of the transfer portal or somebody that they're looking for, in high school recruiting. It's like, okay, whether it be, physically, some of the measurables, the speed, whatever it might be, some of the, maybe the, characteristics within, just his individual makeup. I think that's what they look for now. It's how do we replicate what we found with Drew Sanders in recruiting, whether it be, someone transferring in from another program or something that we see in the high school levels.
Yeah, it's really hard to find those guys. Like, if everybody could find them, they'd have them. And they right, don't. Right. There's only like two or three.
They're all
programs.
Congregating at Alabama and Georgia for their first couple of years, and then they're moving on.
Exactly. So, yeah, maybe that should be Arkansas's plan. You keep an eye on the Alabama players coming out of the portal, the Georgia players coming out of the portal, which Arkansas did with Matt Landers too. And yeah, I think that's a pretty good strategy. But no, I think you're right. Like, I think he's a prototype. Kind of modern day NFL pass rusher too, just speed, quickness, hand, crazy hands, really good. If he's going into the NFL potentially already with a move in his bag, that's great. Like, he's already kind of a step ahead of the game, because speed is you can't teach it, but you got to have something more than that, because those offensive linemen in the league will eat you up. But yeah, Drew's having a great year. And I think he's definitely NFL bound.
I'm not comparing him to Micah Parsons, but what Arkansas has done with him is really comparable with what the Cowboys have done with Micah Parsons, moving him around, putting him in all these different positions, Andrew.
Yeah, I think you guys mentioned earlier that, they couldn't ask for more than what they're getting out of Drew Sanders. And obviously, the Alabama pedigree, you knew he was going to be a good player coming out of high school. And I think that you mentioned that as well, that the challenge for Arkansas is to get those Drew Sanders types, the Dwight McLaughlins, the Latavius Breenies, out of high school instead of a year or two after they go to and maybe sit the bench behind a couple studs at Alabama or Georgia or LSU or wherever. They got to compete for the recruitment out of high school. And I think that's how they level the playing field.
And I do think it's interesting where they've looked at some of these, you just look at the players they brought in. I think they're looking at players from certain programs where they have a track record of being really good at that position, whether it be linebackers from Alabama or a cornerback from LSU or a receiver from Oklahoma, like they got with Jaden Hazelwood. I think that they're being, not to say that that's going to determine who they bring in, but I think there are some benefits to allowing someone to go to those schools for 2 years, 3 years, whatever the case might be, learning from obviously coaches who are really good at their craft, and then being able to bring some of those philosophies into your own team.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think Arkansas has placed a premium of getting guys out of the portal from winning programs. And like the guys we've mentioned before, just the Drew Sanders, McLaughlin, Hazelwood, and those guys. And then you can see maybe why they would have that preference, because when they took a guy like Jordan Dominick from Georgia Tech, who had been struggling, Jordan Dominick had a rough preseason, a rough spring camp, and he took a lot of heat for his practice habits. And I think Sam Pittman said he just didn't know how Arkansas liked to practice, and he wasn't used to that level of competitiveness or physicality, which obviously he's come on his own and raised his level of play. But I think that's why maybe Sam Pittman prefers guys from established programs, because they have already are coming in with at a higher expected level.
The production that Arkansas has gotten out of these transfers this year, it makes me look at the recruiting rankings a lot differently, because if you were to, say, identify the 10 best players on the team, in that top 10, you would have Drew Sanders, you would have Dwight McLaughlin, you'd have Jaden Hazelwood, you'd have Matt Landers. There might be another one that I'm missing. Yeah, but those are guys who have come in this year and been immediate impact players. And so I don't know that not to diminish recruiting and high school recruiting, and not to take this discussion a whole different way, but I think it does make you look at recruiting rankings a little bit differently. And you ought to maybe start factoring in transfers into those recruiting rankings, because they're such a big part of the team. Arkansas is going to play Liberty on Saturday. We'll preview Liberty a lot more in depth on Friday with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. But a quick look right now at the Flames. They're 7-1. They are ranked number 23 coming into this game. Arkansas received votes in the AP poll. Liberty did not play last week, but they had been just outside the AP poll. And then you had some teams like Kentucky and South Carolina who got beat pretty badly and fell out of the poll, and Liberty was one of the beneficiaries of that and moved into the top 25 this week. It's the first time that they've been ranked since the end of the 2020 season. They're coached by Hugh Freeze, the former Ole Miss coach, also coached at Arkansas State. They beat BYU 2 weeks ago, 41-14 in their most recent game. And they're probably going to get Charlie Brewer back this week. He played very minimally against BYU 2 weeks ago, but he's on the, you know, the back end of recovery to an injury that he had early in the season. I think it might've been his wrist. And this is a guy who led Baylor to the Sugar Bowl 2 years ago. He went to Utah, didn't work out last year, but he was part of that team that played in the Rose Bowl, was a backup on that team. And now he's at Liberty. And so I guess all that's to say that Liberty is a really interesting team. And it's probably, as it seems is the case with so many of these teams that Arkansas schedules 4 or 5 years in advance, is probably not the Liberty team that they thought they were going to get whenever this game was contracted.
No, it is definitely not, in no way. Neither of Arkansas's, you know, I don't want to call them lesser non-conference opponents, but Missouri State, no way in the world you could have imagined that Bobby Petrino would be coaching Missouri State when you scheduled that game. And then Liberty is just, no, it's
well,
crazy.
Cincinnati, too.
Yeah, in Cincinnati, exactly right. It's just, it's kind of crazy how these non-con games have landed for Arkansas. But Liberty's, like I said earlier, it's not your standard late season home non-con game. And, you know, Charlie Brewer, I don't think he threw a pass against BYU. He ran the ball a couple times. So, you know, kind of got that feeling again of stepping on the field. Was talking to Hugh Freeze yesterday on a Zoom, Matt. I think you were listening in on that. He said that Charlie Brewer had a really good practice on Monday. And he, you know, he expects Jonathan Bennett, he stepped in for Charlie Brewer after he got hurt. He's kind of had an inconsistent year, but Hugh was like, you know, he's been really inconsistent up and down, but then he just went and won the biggest game in school history and looked really good doing it. So he's kind of battling these two things. He said whether to go with probably the more talented guy with Charlie Brewer or stick with Jonathan Bennett. But either way, I think Arkansas will be prepared for him because, like I said earlier, Sam said on Monday that they're not all too different. But those are the guys that make that offense go for sure.
Yeah, you and Hugh Freeze sounded like old buddies on that press conference yesterday when you were talking. You know, one of the things I thought was interesting that he mentioned, and it was something I thought about immediately whenever I saw that Liberty was ranked, was that he's brought two teams into Fayetteville before that were ranked, and neither of them played very well. Now, in 2016, it was a close game. In 2014, you know, what a stunner whenever 8th-ranked Ole Miss gets beaten by a 1-win Arkansas team 30-0 in the second-to-final game of the regular season. This is a place where he readily admits he has not had any success at all inside Razorback Stadium, whether it be as a head coach at Ole Miss, an assistant coach for Ole Miss. He's never won in Fayetteville.
No, Ole Miss got bad Bo Wallace in 2014. And now I remember, who was it, Tevin Mitchell running the
Rohan Gaines.
How could I forget?
100-yard interception return.
Yeah, that was pretty wild. I remember the weather just being absolutely terrible for that game. And I think Hugh said that, you know, I think he said his daughter or the women in his life have been saying that every time you go to Fayetteville, the weather is bad. It's almost like they feel like they're, you know, dropping into Alaska somewhere, but, probably what's the weather looking like this weekend? Is it
doesn't look
good chance of rain?
Yeah. Doesn't look good. It's about 60% chance of rain on Saturday.
Yeah, so that's probably exactly what he expected. He'll have his team ready for it, I'm sure, though.
I got to believe that Liberty has not seen a team that's anywhere near as athletic as Arkansas. And I thought that, you know, that was one of the big keys to the BYU game a couple of weeks ago was that, yeah, BYU, they played good teams. They did play Oregon early in the season, but, you know, no disrespect to Oregon, they're not recruiting a roster of 85 athletes like you have to have to be competitive in the SEC. They might have, you know, 60, 65 type players like that on their team. You know, and when you play a team from the SEC, and sometimes I think it's hard to see when you've got Arkansas playing Auburn or Arkansas playing Mississippi State, you know, these SEC teams playing each other because, you know, from a roster standpoint, Georgia and Alabama, they stand out above everybody else, but, you know, it seems like everybody else, they're just really comparable from a roster standpoint, but you really see it when they step out of conference. And I think that's going to be, you know, what Liberty sees this weekend is, and I think that's why you've got Arkansas as a 14-point favorite going into the week, is just that, yeah, Liberty played Wake Forest, but how many of those Wake Forest players would really be able to, you know, be on an SEC roster? maybe half, maybe 5/8 of that roster. I just don't think they've seen anything quite like they're going to see from Arkansas this week. I certainly don't think they've seen anything like the physicality they're going to see from the Razorbacks offensive front and in the run game with Rocket Sanders and some of the others who are going to be carrying the ball. KJ Jefferson would fall into that category. And I would be, I don't know if surprised is the right word because the defense has been so inconsistent for Arkansas, but I think I would be pretty surprised if Liberty is able to make this a game where Arkansas feels uncomfortable. I guess that would be my way of thinking about it. I just feel like Arkansas is going to have some semblance of control throughout this game.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I think that 14-point spread is probably about where it should be, at least to open. I wouldn't be surprised if it jumped up to like maybe 16, 17 points by the time kickoff is here. The physicality is completely different. Liberty's not playing Gardner Webb. Like, and they beat Gardner Webb by a single point, which is like, I don't understand how a team beats Gardner Webb by one and then goes and beats BYU just like a drum. And then I just think Arkansas can handle this game pretty easily. It could be potentially another one of those games where, you know, Rocket, his touches are a little bit lower and, you know, they just save him for this stretch run, but I think he could probably still get his numbers, even on those touches that he does get. This just seems like obviously a total mismatch. And but this is also a game where you kind of got to guard against the name playing to the name on the jersey instead of just playing the game. I think Arkansas's offensive line did that a little bit when they played Missouri State. Like, it was so frustrating watching Arkansas's run game against Missouri State because it was just like 1 yard, 2 yard, 3 yards. And Arkansas couldn't establish any push, or they had no knockback in that game. I think you got to guard against that this week. I would have to imagine that Sam is going to get their attention this week, and they'll be singularly focused on Saturday.
I've got to believe that Arkansas is going to be real enthusiastic to play this because they're back at home. They haven't been at home.
Yeah, first time
since
in a while.
October 1st, yeah. And you know they kind of they had a stinker of a game October 1st. If you really boil it down, against Alabama, you know, one of the other things that I think, and this kind of goes back to what you're saying, Scotty, is the strength of schedule that these two teams have faced. BYU is the only common opponent, and BYU, to me, they seem like they're in free fall. They've lost four straight games. They lost the other night to, I believe it was East Carolina on a Friday night in their first game after a bye week. I don't think they're playing well. And so I don't know that Liberty beating BYU is maybe what we thought it was at that time. And I'm not even sure that I was real impressed with that win after what I'd seen from BYU against Arkansas the week before. But strength of schedule, Liberty 128th out of 131 teams nationally, Arkansas 10th. Out of 131 teams. Liberty, if you take away that Wake Forest game, Wake Forest obviously is ranked in the AP top 25. If you take away Wake Forest, the other six FBS teams that they have played have a combined record of 18-32. And then, as you mentioned, they struggle with Gardner Webb. Arkansas can't say anything. They've struggled with Missouri State too, but both of those teams are FCS teams that have got five losses. And so I just don't know that I'm buying Liberty as a top 25 team right now.
I'm not either. And I think, you know, Sam says the right things on Mondays, but I don't know how you can look at that schedule and say that they're super deserving of, you know, being the number 23 team in the country. Like, you look at the schedule, it looks like a pretty good non-conference basketball schedule, to be real honest. Like, you throw Wake Forest, Old Dominion, UMass, Gardner Webb, BYU. I mean, that's a pretty good non-conference basketball schedule, but none of those schools really play football that well, except for, you know, Wake Forest is having a pretty good year. I'm kind of curious, like, how they're even ranked, to be perfectly honest. I guess, you know, the close loss to Wake Forest, when Wake Forest is kind of like that team that everybody kind of likes to hitch their wagon to a little bit when they're having some success. And maybe that stuck with them a little bit. But yeah, I mean, beating BYU.
It's the record.
Yeah, it's definitely the record. And I think Hugh Freeze has got a lot to do with it. You know, he's kind of making that program relevant and his own again.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely the record is why they're ranked. And it's interesting. You know, I heard somebody make this point this week. the difference between pollsters and gamblers. You know, the difference between the AP poll voters and the difference between the Vegas odds makers is so striking when it comes to Liberty, in that the, you know, the pollsters probably just look at that record, say, hey, you know, here's Liberty. They're 7-1 going into November. They deserve to be a top 25 team. And the people who actually have real skin in the game are saying, hey, no, don't trust Liberty. They're not going to go into Fayetteville and make this a very competitive game. I think that's a really interesting way to look at that.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think Ryder's just like, anytime that Hugh Freeze is attached to something that's having success, I think there's like an obvious attraction to that. I think he's got a good football team, but I mean, I would be surprised if Liberty came close to covering this weekend. I just don't think that they're prepared for what they're probably going to walk into.
Arkansas 5-3. If they beat Liberty on Saturday, they qualify for a bowl game. And if that's the case, we're going to have some fun over the final few weeks speculating about where Arkansas might end up for its postseason destination. Really interesting the way this season's worked out. There's a lot of differences between this year's team and last year's team, but where they are in the season right now feels like it's completely identical to where they were a year ago. And it feels like a year ago when they finished, you know, 5-1 over their final six games, you know, it certainly feels like they've got a chance to finish this year strong too. Arkansas and Liberty Saturday at 3:00. We'll have another Whole Hog Football podcast later this week with Tom Murphy to look a little bit closer at Liberty, look a little bit closer at this this weekend's matchup, plus other games around the SEC. And hope you'll join us on Thursday as we have our season premiere of the basketball podcast of Mid-America. Basketball season's here. It seems like it kind of sneaks up on us every year. And we'll preview the Razorbacks season opener against North Dakota State. That'll be played next Monday night at Bud Walton Arena. For Scotty Bordelon and Andrew Joseph, I'm Matt Jones. We appreciate you joining us on the Whole Hog Football Podcast. Hope you visit us at wholehogsports.com. And we'll see you again later this week.
The proceeding has been a production of wholehogsports.com. Look for our latest podcasts on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at wholehogsports.com for the latest news and commentary.